aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a birdcage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
Oh boy, I've been on the hook for a little bit here, so we'll see what Kyle has prepared for me.
Yeah, so what a hectic day it's been, hasn't it?
Yes.
And so overall, there were some conversations that were being had. Earlier, I misheard something that you said, which triggered my mind. And then also Jason said something as well that's made me say, huh, because you were talking about the Green Bay Packers defense, and it made me think about, like, running the football. I said, well, I wonder, who are the top seven rushing leaders in the NFL this year, Craig?
Oh, my. So, Kyle, I don't know if you want to keep this question.
Oh, you just looked.
I was driving in a car this week with a friend of mine's son, and I said, like, all right, I'm going to throw you the rushing leaders. I'm going to throw you the this, the that. Now, I only did the top five with him, but I know the top five.
That makes it tough.
It kind of is unfair.
It makes it tough because of the fact that I was looking. The whole point of this one was the fact that
I know Mason is third.
And we play against the 49ers. You played against Saquon Barkley.
I
you
know
have
Barkley.
Josh Jacobs.
I know Henry. I know Jacobs. I know there's another one who I think of in the top five who I can't right now. But I'm saying I think if I give it some thought, I don't love this question because I feel like I'm kind of cheating.
Well, the whole point of this was the fact that you got him is that Jordan Mason, the Packers will play. Saquon Barkley, the Packers have played with the Eagles. Jordan Mason with the 49ers. The Packers have Josh Jacobs. The Packers played against Joe Mixon. He went hammers on us. The Packers will play today against Jahmyr Gibbs, who is number...
Was Mixon the one I forgot?
Mixon is you forgot. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, who's number 8 by 1 yard.
I actually would have said J.K. Dobbins. Is he on the list?
He's not on the list.
Oh, okay, so I would have got it wrong.
But that's okay. But the whole point of this was the green, and then they played against James Conner, and they played against Kyron Williams. The whole point of this, and Aaron Jones. So, like, when you look at the top 10, top 12
I would have gone Kyron over those other guys.
Yeah, Kyron isn't on, he's not in the top 7, but Najee Harris is. But the whole point, and Chuba Hubbard. And the whole point of this that I was going to make here, Craig, is the fact that the Green Bay Packers, when we look at their defense, if the Packers are able to make a run in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, it's not like the defense would not have been tested. When you're going up against top rushing leaders week in,
I don't think they've been tested.
You don't think they've been? They haven't passed these tests against Saquon Barkley.
Right,
they haven't passed
the
tests against Joe Mixon.
You don't, in the NFL, I feel like you don't get shredded in the regular season. I know this is weird to say. I don't think you get shredded in the regular season by getting run against. You can get run against and those teams can, you know, put up yards, but I don't think that means you can't beat them. Like, so they haven't stopped the run, but if you're not playing against quarterbacks who are effective, then you're going to win a lot of games. And I just don't feel like they've played against that many good offenses, and the offenses that they've played against were missing some pretty key parts.
But
right?
Don't you like the dominance they've shown against some of these teams? Because when I think about last year to this year,
the way they dominated Arizona, I don't know if there's another game that I would say that about.
They had the Titans. They had like 8 sacks against the Titans.
The Titans are terrible. I don't care. No. I'm saying the game, the offense, I loved what Malik Willis did against the Titans. That showed me a lot. But don't tell me what the defense did against the Titans did anything for anyone.
Usually we see pretty eye to eye. Like we see the same thing, but we see from a different perspective.
The Bears did the same thing to the Titans. Like everybody's done the same thing from the Titans.
No, Craig, you're not giving the defense enough credit, because when I look at it overall, the Packers had to beat the Colts with defense. And I know Anthony Richardson has been a disaster this year.
That's what I'm saying.
But this is the same defense that let Tommy DeVito run up and down the field and drive down the field.
I'm not saying it's not better. No, I'm just saying that was at the time where we were like, hey, could this team be we weren't even thinking they could be a playoff team last year. Now we're talking about, can they be a Super Bowl team? Like, the bar has been raised so high for this team.
Yeah,
so yeah,
this
defense is so much better.
If they're so much better, why are we discrediting them by saying that, oh, well, you know, they haven't done anything impressive? The fact
that they stepped up
when we needed them to step up.
Despite the fact I didn't like the way last week. They didn't stop the Eagles and get the ball back in week one.
Oh, it was week one in Brazil, that terrible feel. Like, I understand
that. What offense? Like, we saw how broke the Texans offense was against the Jets on Thursday night, right? Like, I'm just saying, I don't think we've seen an offense anything resembling the Lions since week one. And not that the Eagles are as good as the Lions, but this is the closest thing we've seen. So to me, I'm not saying the Packers defense isn't much improved, but to me, this is the first time you could truly say they're either going to pass this test or not. That's why this game is so fascinating to me, to see how the Packers defense stacks up. They were just flashing all sorts of things on the screen. How the Packers defense stacks up in this game against the Lions.
I think this is another opportunity. When I look at the Vikings game, the defense did not play great, but they played great in the second half, and the one thing they had to go up against
is the
fact that
they were giving short fields
exactly.
and all that. And,
what I'm trying to say is that there has been
improvement. Solid there, but again, the Vikings aren't like the, you know, the
they
Rams
were at that
from
time.
The 99 Rams. Right,
well,
and they put
not
up,
the 99 Rams, but they were good.
And they
good
put up 40
season.
Points or whatever in that game.
They put
right?
up 31 points again. It was 31-29, and the Green Bay Packers defense was able to keep us alive in the second half versus all the turnovers, like you said, they had to deal with. That's something as well when we talk about
but
the pendulum
the
of
Vikings
momentum.
The Vikings got pretty conservative once they were winning in that game. Like, I don't think the Packers really—
I guess forced turnovers, too, in that game against Sam Darnold. They started dialing up some pressure against Sam Darnold and not just sitting back there and letting him chop up and carve up the Packers' defense.
If that's your exhibit A of the Packers' defense, that a game where they lost to the Vikings at home, then fine.
Oh, I don't like you saying that. That seems condescending. If that's my exhibit A,
I feel like
you're not a believer in my Packers.
No, I'm saying today is our chance to be a believer in this defense. Today is a chance to see if they come anywhere close to making the Lions look like they made the Lions look last year on Thanksgiving, then I'm a believer in this defense. I'm just saying we have not seen them truly tested outside of the opening week. And by the way, in the opening week, the offense is what let them down early in that game. The Packers caused those turnovers early in that game, and if the Packers offense had converted those to touchdowns,
yeah,
I think we would have seen a different defense in that game, because I think they would have been able to play differently had they gone up bigger earlier. So I'm not criticizing the defense in any way. I'm just saying that we've seen them give up a bunch of rushing yards, and I'm not going to destroy them for that. I'm saying this is an offense that has the diversification, even without Jameson Williams, by the way. I'm not here to say we're seeing them without their deep threat today, which we are, right? Jameson Williams is not playing in this game, and he is the Lions' deep threat. So they are playing without the Lions' deep threat. But I am saying that we will have a much better feel for this defense after today. By the way, ESPN just showed the Packers have a 40% chance to win the division if they win, a 10% chance to win the division.
You know
if
what?
They lose.
I don't believe these statistics and stats, Craig. It's because the Bears had a 99.2% chance of winning that football game. And guess what happened last week? They took the L. Go Pack, go, baby.
Yeah. I still believe the stats, but I believe that's why it wasn't 100% chance for them to win, because something as crazy as that could happen. But as we go into this game, we know it's going to be rainy. We know it's going to be that. So, like, there'll be some things that aren't there. But to me, if the Packers show up defensively today, I think then we could say, wow, we're at the midway point of this season. This team, whether they end up 7-2 or 6-3, has a defense that can compete with the best offense in their conference, this team has a chance to go to the NFC Championship. I think that's what you want to be saying coming out of today, because I'm with you and Jason. I don't think we've seen the best of the offense yet. I think the offense is going to be even better than anything we've seen this year, because Jordan Love hasn't been able to get in a true rhythm. They have so many weapons, and they haven't been able to use them all. And Jacobs, you know, if he stays healthy, is proven to be good, and they have other even weapons in the running game. So we'll talk more about this, as well as maybe even get back into some of the Bucks and Badgers talk we were having earlier. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, lots of things still to get into. Bo says from Fort Atkinson, Kyle is delusional. You can go down the Packers wins and say the same exact thing as you were like talking about how it's so ridiculous for me to say that I thought the Titans were going to beat the Packers.
Bo must want to be, he must be one of them Bears fans, huh? That's what Bo must be.
Hey, the Titans, Titans outplayed the Bears, despite the Bears winning that game. Brian says, how about a recap of Badger football for a segment here? I don't think we can handle that.
No, Craig, I can tell you this right now. As I have said before, my little cousin used to play for the Wisconsin Badgers, and it was.
By the
great.
Way, your little cousin's on Michigan State now, right?
And he's been balling out. I mean, yesterday
with their defense against Indiana?
Two things. I'll tell you this. I'm glad you brought that up. He was out for the first half because he got a targeting call in the previous game at the end of the third quarter at Michigan. I was very upset about that. Very upset in the stands. Balling out though, and so Indiana basically. Craig, Wisconsin fans should simply be upset because of what Indiana has been able to do in a matter of months. Months. They were able to hire a coach from James Madison. He was able to recruit some guys, get some transfers in, a lot from James Madison, and he was able to create an identity of football. Yesterday, they had three straight passes where they just lobbed it up to somebody because they noticed that they were just better. The Wisconsin Badgers have absolutely no identity. They can't throw the ball up to anybody. They've done a terrible job of, I don't want to say recruiting, but they've done a terrible job of developing. So for me, I'm glad you brought up what happened against Indiana, because Indiana was trash last year. Wisconsin should have beat them. They ended up losing to them, but still, Indiana was not a good football team. Indiana is going to make the college football playoffs, and guess what, Craig? Indiana might pull off the upset against Ohio State next week because of the fact that they truly believe in the identity of their football program. Now I switch over to Wisconsin, and unfortunately, Wisconsin does not have an identity. They don't know what they want to do. They don't have the toughness needed in order to be successful in the Big Ten. Regardless of how you felt about Paul Chris and his football teams, one thing you knew is that for the most part, they were going to compete. I cannot believe that Wisconsin went to Iowa yesterday and lost 42-10. I saw Michigan State play Iowa, and Michigan State is not as talented as Wisconsin. Michigan State is years behind Wisconsin when it comes to where they want to be. But the fact that Michigan State was able to be tougher than Iowa and beat Iowa at Michigan State a couple weeks ago, it made me believe that Wisconsin was going to come in here and go to Iowa and be able to win the football game. Never in my wildest dreams did I believe that Wisconsin would lose 42-10 to a not good football team. That team at Iowa is not good, Craig. They are no bueno. They are no good. So yesterday has to be very upsetting. We have bigger issues than I thought we did prior to this game. I thought for sure we were going to be Iowa, Craig. I thought for sure. No excuses.
And the Badgers looked pretty good against Penn State for most of that game.
Penn State's decent too.
Right, but I'm saying against Penn State, if they didn't make that choice to throw the ball out of their own end zone in that second half, I still think Wisconsin could have won that game. You know, they were playing a backup quarterback who didn't have confidence, who seemingly got a bunch of confidence once they were in the lead after the Badgers threw that pick six, right? I believed coming off of that first half against Penn State, and some things went right in the first half, some drops, some different things that helped the Badgers, that I thought this team was like reasonably competitive. I did not think going into that game last night that they would win that game.
Let me tell you.
I did not think they'd win that game, but I also did not think that what happened would happen. And you mentioned Indiana playing Ohio State. That's like 3 weeks from now.
Oh, no, next week?
No, Ohio State's got Purdue this coming week.
What does Indiana have next week?
It's, I don't know, it's in 3 weeks that Ohio State, well, and Indiana has Michigan.
Well, let me tell you, they're going to run through them too. But I'm telling you this right now, Craig, it is so disappointing and upsetting. You said believe. You said you believed that Wisconsin had an opportunity to beat Penn State. Craig, they didn't believe they could beat Penn State. Just like when they were up against USC, they couldn't believe they were up against you. Oh, we're playing USC. We're going on the road. It's a big game. USC ain't good either. But the Green Bay, the Wisconsin Badgers don't believe that they should be winning these football games. They're just happy to be up. There is a mentality issue that is going on because these kids don't believe that they should be winning these football games. They're just excited to be in these football games, right? They're not playing to win, and that is the most frustrating part. I grew up watching the Wisconsin Badgers be competitive year in, year out, week in, week out. It didn't matter what the record was. I knew Wisconsin was going to be competitive, and that is gone.
And you look at what Paul Chryst, where he had this team, I think it is now fair, very fair, right, to say that this team is not where that was. Now, we can't say that Paul Chryst in this day and age, in this NIL transfer portal world, was going to have the team in that spot. So I think that's the thing that's
but
unfair.
Craig, the last years that we struggled with them, and even the year that Jim Leonard took over, they were still more competitive at the end of the year against these teams. Like that, they beat the hell out of Iowa at home that year. And now we're getting throttled by Iowa two seasons later?
Absolutely.
This is embarrassing. Or was it? No, maybe that was the year before that they throttled Iowa. I think it was the year before they throttled Iowa. And then 2 years ago, they went to Iowa and it was a close game. Graham Mertz threw some interceptions, but it was closer than this. It was competitive.
Now, how much of this do you say, hey, the quarterback's been gone all year? How different
Tyler Van Dyke wasn't going to make no difference. We saw enough of Tyler Van Dyke to know that he wasn't going to elevate this football team. They have other
based
issues.
Based on a game against like Northern Michigan and like Alabama, Alabama?
We struggled before the Alabama game.
I know.
We struggled. We didn't look good. Now,
but I'm saying the team looked better after, so maybe the rest of the team and with Van Dyke could have been better.
42 against Iowa was unacceptable.
Phil's a banker. You're on Sunday Karma. Cool. Morning, Phil.
Hey, gentlemen. The Badgers have become kind of a joke here, haven't they? I mean, we're down in the depths of the Big Ten. I mean, we're down with the Purdue's. I know we beat these guys, but that's where we are. We're in the bottom tier of the league at this point. And this is all Chris McIntosh. He had maybe one of the most brilliant defensive minds that I've ever seen in Jim Leonard that desperately wanted the job, and he dumped him for some Ohio State, Cincinnati, whatever he was, guy, you got to remember those guys like Tressel, they're used to having the best talent on the field. Jim Leonard's used to winning with subpar talent and strategy and scheme and brilliance. I mean, we got guys that can literally only win if we have better talent on the field. That's our strategy.
So, Phil, this came down to, it seems, right, that Chris McIntosh either was going to go with a Wisconsin guy who could continue, you know, the closest thing to the heritage of this program that you could, or you could roll the dice and say, hey, we've never made the CFP. We're making the big bet. I mean, he did that, right? Like it would have been easier, right, to go with Leonard, right? So he seemingly made the more difficult decision that you're saying is obviously was the wrong one.
Well, okay, he rolled the dice. He lost. Like he can't make that decision. Lose a great mind like Leonard, who loved the state of Wisconsin, loved the Badgers,
yep.
And would have. There's no way we wouldn't be competitive this year without Leonard. Because I don't care what talent we have in the field. He's a brilliant defensive mind.
So
He's
I watched Phil and, this week, and don't ask me why, but I watched back Barry Alvarez's press conference when Brett Bielema left. And Barry, as the athletic director, said, no matter what, there's a certain identity. He's like, I don't care if they have a connection to Wisconsin, but no matter what, there's an identity that we have at Wisconsin that we're going to need to keep. And it was interesting to watch that because at the time he said in that press conference, we're not going to go after Paul Chryst. He's staying at Pittsburgh. And they ended up bringing in Anderson, right? Who went as far away from the identity of Wisconsin as any of us could have predicted that hire was going to do. And, I mean, ultimately, this is the second hire like that of the modern coaching era, right? The second hire that's not a, you know, Wisconsin brand of football higher.
It seems like Fickell is trying to say, okay, I'm going to compete against the Alabamas. I'm going to do it the same way they're doing by bringing the highest talented guys and a very vanilla, bland, stupid scheme. You know, and so if the only way you're going to win that way is if you have the most talent on the field. And we showed that maybe against some of these really, really bad teams, maybe we did have more talent on the field, or maybe we got lucky against Northwestern. I don't even know. But clearly we're not winning on strategy. This is our strategy is terrible. I mean, we have no – it's painful to watch the Badgers, how far we've fallen in such a short time. And so if Chris McIntosh is going to take that gamble, you know, and go away from that, he's got to go. We can't keep Chris McIntosh either. He's got to go. You can't roll the dice, destroy the program, and keep your job and trust him to pick the next guy.
Oh, I disagree with that. I mean, I think, you know, he may have gotten it wrong, but I don't think anybody at the time – I know there were – people who believed a lot in Jim Leonard. But I don't think anybody, and nobody thought Luke Fickell was a bad hire at the time. People may have thought, hey, Jim Leonard.
I was ticked.
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's because of Jim Leonard and the thought. But it wasn't like, oh, Luke Fickell's not a great football coach. Luke Fickell hasn't proven it everywhere he's gone. Like, I think Fickell was seen as a good hire. It wasn't the choice of everyone, but it was like a lot of people were like, wow, Wisconsin could get Luke Fickell? I mean, I think that was the perception throughout the college football world. So, okay, Phil, what do you think is going to happen when – I mean, I watched Oregon yesterday, and I watched them just tear through a defense yesterday at will whenever they wanted to. what do you think happens 2 weeks from now when the number one football team in the country comes to Wisconsin?
I mean, I think Badgers are going to have a heck of a time winning any more games. They're going to have a hard time winning any of these games. Minnesota, forget it.
Tougher than us?
No chance.
Minnesota's tougher than us. I saw it yesterday. I watched their
game.
Way
tougher.
This is terrible. Minnesota
pulled out their win against USC that the Badgers did not.
And then they went to Illinois and beat Illinois yesterday.
So you guys both
think... Do you think we're better than Nebraska? We're not better than Nebraska.
No, we're
Nebraska's going to beat us too.
I'm telling you, Craig, we are not tough. It comes down to that. The biggest mistake that Luke Fickell made, and he's going to regret this because eventually he may end up getting fired, and it will come down to the fact that instead of giving Jimmy Leonard the defensive coordinator position, he was going to try to make him a co-defensive coordinator with this trash defensive coordinator that we got with Tressel, and now we find ourselves in this predicament. If you are able to keep Jim Leonard on just the way he got kept on the staff at Ohio State, we're in a different position.
So you're not even saying what Phil's saying, like, hey, you need to hire Jim Leonard as the head coach. You're saying that they actually could have had the best of both worlds and still could have kept Jim Leonard.
And you keep the defense wasn't the problem. You had one of the best defenses for like a decade, and you ruined it. You absolutely ruined it. We got Iowa 42 points yesterday. They look like Oregon.
The defense is trash. It's trash now.
That was like a month. I mean,
trash.
And Iowa's offense has gotten better, but that was like a month of Iowa's offense last year. All right, thanks, Phil. All right, we will.
No, their offense is not good. I'm telling you, Craig, I watched the Michigan State versus Iowa game, and they Caleb Johnson, he had one run of 78 yards, and the rest of the game only had 27 yards rushing. He had one big run for a touchdown. Other than that, the Michigan State slowed him down, and we can't stop this team.
Don't act like Caleb Johnson can't play. Like, that's a great running back.
But we should have been able to stop them at Wisconsin. You just have to be tough, and we are not tough anymore. It's not fun to watch, and it's disappointing.
They beat Washington 40-16. They beat Northwestern 40-14, and then they beat Wisconsin 42-10. So Wisconsin's grouped right.
So
in
we suck
this
so
year.
Those are the three teams we grouped in with.
Yep.
Well, then hell, I don't want to. If I got to be with Washington, who sucks this year, I got to be with Northwestern, who sucks this year.
But that's what Wisconsin is. They're 3-3 in the Big Ten, and that's kind of the level that this team has played, proven out to be. Now, as I said, it can all change in one game, right? 2 weeks from now, this team can be legendary if they do something against Oregon, who, by the way, has scored 30 points
or
more.
Craig, listen to
in every game except when they beat Idaho 24-14.
Let's
look at that Idaho
not
film.
Happening.
Can we look at the Idaho film
Go
and
ahead.
See how Idaho slowed them down?
Not happening. Craig, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna be
and
done.
How Boise put up 34 points against them
because they have an incredible running back.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If Luke Fickell was the coach and the football team, the better football team was like this when you came and visited Wisconsin back in the day when you were a young buck.
I wouldn't have never visited Wisconsin.
Well, good Carver Brands wouldn't be here.
It wouldn't be
here. I wouldn't have a job.
I never would have visited. If this was the Badger team, I never, as a college student in Atlanta, back when you couldn't have all the games televised, I wouldn't be going to sports bars to watch the Badgers, which I did every week when I was in college in Atlanta to watch this Badger team. And then this company never would have existed. That is a very, very fair point. All right, we got more 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. More on the Badgers, the Bucks, and big Packer game. And Alex Stroh's going to join us for a little Green Bay game day prep as we move on. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Our good friends at Palermo's who bring us our Palermo's picks. Wisconsin's hometown pizza. This is perfect. 325 start. You have your really only choice is, do you have the Palermo's at halftime or do you have it after the game? I think you probably do it at halftime with the 325 start on a Sunday. I think you fire up the preheat the oven in the second quarter, and then whether pizza's your main thing or not, oh, screaming Sicilian, urban pie, whatever brand of Palermo's you're going to do. Yesterday, I told you, I got the screaming Sicilian cheesy bread. There's so many different derivations of things now that Palermo's has you covered. They are Wisconsin's hometown pizza, Palermo's. All right, lots of stuff to get into. By the way, text comes in from Justin. If Luke trots out Locke in 2 weeks, send him packing. I don't know that there's a reasonable backup option there at quarterback, unfortunately.
If you're going to lose, maybe you lose with the freshman, but it doesn't seem like he's ready yet.
I mean, that would be exciting at least, right?
I don't get excited for anything at quarterback. After Graham Mertz was an absolute just disaster for us and a heartbreak and letdown for us, I just want to be shocked. I'm no longer buying any stock of a quarterback that signs with the Wisconsin Badgers.
Wow. That's kind of let's try to make it more positive than that. And let's go out to Lambeau Field to the Tundra Trio, where Green Bay game day is getting ready. Alex Stroh, Gabe Neitzel join us on Sunday Karma. Morning, guys.
Morning, Craig.
What's happening?
All right, we've had a lot of, I know there's a lot of Bucks things, I know there's a lot of Badgers things, but we're going to focus on the Packers because Green Bay game day is coming up. I'll start with you, Strophy, as I believe Chewy had to even rename the version of what a toad is for you. So Do you feel like the Packers defense has been tested before this game against the Lions?
Have they been tested? Sure, but not against a team that's as good as the Lions are, right? I mean, you bring in the best 1-2 punch in the league with Montgomery and Gibbs. I'm nervous about what those two guys are going to do, right? It's sloppy conditions today, Craig. It's raining out. There's a lot of blue in lot one, which is directly to me and Gabe's right. I see as many Lions fans as I do Packers fans. As positive as we want to be right now, I don't know how positive I can be right now.
Now, I can be positive for you. Jared Goff stinks outside. It's raining. There we go.
Right. I was just saying, Jared Goff is second in the league in passer rating. But when you look at QBR, which actually rates you as an entire quarterback, everything you do, including some of the things that may not show up on the stat sheet, he's a bottom third quarterback. And Gabe, this is that first outdoor game, and it's not just outdoor, it's a messy outdoor game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at the career quarterback rating, and I don't think they have a career QBR for outdoor versus indoor, but it's a huge difference for Jared Goff, and it was a big talking point for, I think, why a lot of people believed in the Lions going into the year, is that they only have three outdoor games all year. Yeah. This is game number one for them, and then to have these conditions, now, to Stroh's point, these conditions make you think, okay, you want to run the football a little bit more, and as well as Jahmyr Gibbs have been running the football and as bad as the Packers have been against the run, against some of the premier running backs that they've gone up against, that does make me a little bit nervous for this game. But, I mean, it also makes me think that as wet and as sloppy as it is, as good as the Packers have been at creating turnovers, that they should be able to create some turnovers against a team that has been turnover adverse.
Staying with you, Gabe, with it being wet and sloppy, would that make you rethink the idea of Jordan Love playing today?
I mean, if they've obviously cleared him, they think he's good to go. This is as conservative of a medical staff in the NFL that exists.
Great point.
And if they're okay with it, even though I'm uncomfortable with it, I think I have to put my trust in Dr. Pat McKenzie and the training staff for the Packers that there is not a significant risk for him to injure the groin further that would cause him to miss a handful of games if he plays today.
Yeah, I don't know how big of a Packers fan you are if you don't have a little bit of the EBGBs around Love playing today, right? I mean, it is a little concerning. We don't know if he's going to be a skeleton of himself or mostly the full version of himself. I just hope he gets out healthy, gets the bye week next week, and then he can do what he did a year ago, which is be the best quarterback in the NFL the second half of the year.
Greeny and Randy Moss both picked the Packers to win today from the NFL Sunday Countdown crew. The other three pick the Lions to win. So, Alex, as you look at on the other side at the offense, I mean, what do you think this offense does today, given that Jacobs and Love both come into this game pretty banged up?
Yeah, it's concerning, right? I don't know how much we know about the backup, well, seemingly the backup now, Chris Brooks, but he played well last week. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, Craig, simply put. You don't want Love to be throwing as many interceptions as he has this year. He's injured, as you just mentioned, and we've got a wet football. I think it's going to be ground and pound with Jacobs and Brooks, and you know, you hope they can, you know, beat up on this defensive line. The Lions come in with a really beat up defensive line. Obviously, the Aiden Hutchinson injury, but I think they have three other defensive linemen out of this game today. So hopefully that works in their favor. But between the injuries and the conditions, I'm not feeling as optimistic as I typically do. But we'll see. Maybe this is the beginning of the second half of the season Love we saw a year ago, and he can shock us all like he did on Thanksgiving a year ago against this very Lions team.
Gabe, what's coming up on Green Bay game day today?
Oh, we've got Steve Scafidi. He's going to be jumping on with us for a couple segments. Of course, Rob Demoski, Super Bowl champion Jarrett Bush, Jason Wilde talking about the weather, breaking down this game. Super excited. Quickly, Craig, I'm deciding to feel positive about last night's Bucks game because they actually played well. Yes, they lost on a last-second shot to a pretty good player in Donovan Mitchell. Am I crazy for saying that?
I feel really good. I mean, the team was competitive, and they got killed off the bench. And if Chris Middleton's there, then Torian Prince is giving you all of that off the bench, and the Bucks win that game. So it was major progress. I'm not saying we're there yet, but major progress.
Even though it's a loss, I actually walked away from last night feeling oddly. I was in the arena. I felt oddly good about walking away from last night's game.
Yes.
Right. I'm just glad we're on the same page.
And if they hadn't played such good defense on Donovan Mitchell, he would have made the shot earlier, and the Bucks would have gotten the ball back and probably won the game. So it was actually
unlucky.
Okay, let's just end the show here before I get even more mad. We're making excuses.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks, guys. Everyone's looking forward to it. Green Bay game day coming up next from the Tundra Trio in Green Bay. Thanks to Alex Strofe and Gabe Knights. Also, thanks to Gruber Law Offices, nationally recognized, locally owned. One call, that's all. You only pay if you win. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We came to you live from the Gruber Law Offices studios. Your Green Bay game day coming up next. Thanks to Kyle and everyone else who was a part of it today, including Jason Wilde. You've been listening to Sunday Karma. Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. Don't settle. Kyle, send us out. Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.